verses 11 through 24. Don't get scared. I'm not going to preach it verse by verse. Luke 15, verses 11 through 24, a very familiar passage of Scripture. When you have it, say amen. If you're still looking for Luke, nobody was honest. Amen. Luke chapter 11, I mean chapter 15, starting in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Father, I thank you for your word, for the anointing that is upon your word. I ask you now, God, to speak through these lips of clay today, your word to your people today, and God will be sure to give you praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on the thought round trip. Round trip. We hear a lot today about the kingdom of God and the kingdom message and churches to say, you know, we're kingdom churches. But this is not just something that has come around. The very first message that Jesus preached was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, how many of you know that repent is not saying I'm sorry? Okay? Repent means when you change your mind. It means to change your mind. So what Jesus' first message was you need to change the way that you think and embrace the way that God expects the kingdom to work. Jesus was, in fact, the kingdom of heaven come down to earth. When he preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it was saying the kingdom of heaven is here. And he went on to teach us about the kingdom of God. And many of Jesus' parables that he taught us began with the kingdom of God is like this, and the kingdom of God is like this. And all throughout his teaching, Jesus was teaching us how to operate in the kingdom of God. Everyone who has accepted Christ as their Savior has the kingdom of God within them because they have Jesus within them. You know, the disciples asked Jesus, they said, will you now show us the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, you won't look here and say the kingdom is there, or look over there and say the kingdom is there, but the kingdom will be within you. In other words, so if you are a born-again believer, the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. Amen. And the way that the world sees the kingdom is when we let them see Jesus living on the inside of us. Amen. Folks ought to be able to look at you and know that you're different. And I'm not talking about the clothes that you wear or the color of your hair or if you have hair or anything like that. I'm talking about the way that you live your life. Are you the hands and feet of Christ? Do they see the love of God radiating out of your life? Do they see you going the extra mile for people? Do they see you not being judgmental of people? Do they see you seeing someone that is dripping in sin and down on their luck, and instead of judging them, you say, that was once me, or if it hadn't have been for God's grace, that could be me, and remembering that God saved us. Amen. The world is watching, and we have to display Jesus Christ to this world. We are his hands and feet to this world. Amen. So if you are saved, quit looking for the kingdom. You already have it on the inside of you. Jesus preached repentance to receive the kingdom, changing your mind. You have to begin to think right. You know, when you get saved, you can't go follow these old thought patterns. Why? Because you're no longer that same person. The Bible says old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So you can't have that old thinking, that old life patterns, because you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. The rest of Jesus' ministry was on teaching us how to operate properly within the kingdom. Like I told you, many of his parables began with the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus was saying, now that you've got the kingdom, let me teach you how to use it. So when we read the teachings of Jesus, he is teaching us how things operate and how we're supposed to operate within the kingdom of God. In the Bible, the story goes, this is one of those stories where Jesus is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. And he begins this story with, this man had two sons. In this story, the man is the representation of God, and these two sons are people within the kingdom of God. So here we have to understand that in the beginning of this story, both sons are in the kingdom. We know this because both sons are in line to receive inheritance of the Father. So what does that mean that they're in the kingdom? What does the Bible teach us? That when we become born again, we become joint heirs with Jesus and heirs of God. We're in line to receive inheritance. So that means you're in the kingdom when you have inheritance. So both of these sons were in line to receive inheritance. So we know that they were both in the kingdom to start with. One wasn't this rebellious son that the father had cut off. Both were in the good graces of the father. Thus we understand they're in the kingdom. But one day the younger son tells his father, I want my portion of the inheritance now. In other words, I don't want to follow God's process. I don't want to wait until it's time for me to receive my inheritance. I want it now. You see, the sons generally didn't receive their inheritance until the father died. During that time, the father was alive. He was training the sons on how to possess their inheritance and how to increase it. But the younger son had a problem with that. In other words, he was like, this process is taking too long. We must understand that everything God does is through process. And some of the things that we go through, God is processing us. It's kind of like when you put something in a blender and you put the top on it and you hit process. Do you just pick it up and drink it? No, you take the lid off. You look inside the blender to see if it's in the desired state that you want it. If it's still lumpy or it's still got something in it, what do? You put the lid back on it and you process it some more. It's kind of like what God does with us. He processes us, but if we don't allow certain things to pull out of us what God wants, we have to go through the process again. And the reason that so many of us have to get processed over and over is because we're so hard-headed. Amen. I don't do domestic, so don't be bumping your spouse going, he's preaching at you. Some of us are very hard-headed, and it takes longer for us, for that light bulb to go off in our head and be like, I get it now. Some people get it on the first try, but there's some that, man, it takes a while for us to get it, and I'm one of those that God has to process and process and process. And finally, when I'm just finally at my wit's end, I'm like, okay, God, I got it. So, but this son, he didn't want to go through the process. He said, no, I want mine right now. I don't care about increasing my inheritance. I want it right now. The younger son had lost the desire to be taught and thought he knew enough to build his own kingdom. It is a very dangerous place to be in your life, whether in your spiritual life or whether in your personal life, that you lose the ability to be taught. We used to call them know-it-alls. You ever met somebody that you could be a brain surgeon, they a mechanic, but they know more about brain surgery than you do? Them folks jerk my nerves. I know people that know more about everything than everybody. I was like, you should be in the Guinness World Records because you know everything. It is very dangerous to get to the place that you cannot be taught anymore, because we're always learning. And we should always develop, and we should always, and it's all right, as you learn and you grow, you change the way that you look at things. There's things that when I began ministry, I looked at one way, but through the years of dealing with issues and dealing with people and dealing with things, I've changed the way that I look at things. You got to learn to evolve as you learn. So let's move on. The younger son had lost the desire to be taught and thought he knew enough. And this hasn't changed through the years. There's still people like this. God has such wonderful plans for them, But they get in the mindset, I'm following my own plans and I don't care what God says. I'm going to do what I want to do. I know what God's called me to do. I know what God's plan is for my life, but I don't want to follow that. I want to follow my own plans. And then when we end up in a mess, we're over there crying, God, get me out of it. And God's a loving God. And he gets us out of it. If I were God, I'd be like, you got yourself there, stay in it. That's why I'm not God. Y'all, some of y'all very lucky. I'm not. Anyway, that was a joke, guys. God has all these wonderful plans for people's lives, but they want to follow their own plans. And because of this, many people miss the fullness of God. The younger son didn't want to follow the process of God leading him to his destiny. He wanted to get there himself. So the father divided up his estate and gave the younger son his portion. Now, this was uncustomary. This was not something that was the normal, but the father did it anyway. Why? Because God created us with the ability to choose. God never forces anyone to live for him. God will not force you to make good decisions. If you are bent on making bad decisions, God's going to let you make them. Amen? And then God's going to be there to help you pick up the pieces. Amen? I'm so thankful for that because I have made some boneheaded decisions in my life. Amen? And the rest of y'all need to get saved and say, yeah, you've made some too. Amen? I've made some rough decisions in my life that God's had to get me out. But God gives us the ability to choose. So if you're waiting on God to make you live right, it's not going to happen. If you're waiting on God to make you do right, it's not going to happen. If you're waiting on God to make you give up your addiction, it's not going to happen. Hello? We want to sit around all the time with our hands open going, if God wants it, he'll do it. But God gave you a brain. And he gave you the ability to choose, but he gave you the ability to think for yourself. And you've got to make decisions. You've got to do the right thing yourself, and then God's going to help you with it. Amen? Must learn to help yourself. Okay, let me move on before I get in trouble. But God gave us the ability to choose. He will never force you into following his plan for your life. Do you know if you have a desire to pull away from God and you don't, I'm just through with God, I don't want nothing else to do with God, God's not going to force you to follow him. Watch this. What does the Bible teach us? God says, you're in my hand and no man can pluck you from my hand. In other words, nobody can take your relationship with God. But if you decide to say, God, I don't want it no more. God, I don't want to be with you no more. God, I don't want to follow you no more. And I don't know why somebody would do that, but it happens. God, I don't want to follow you anymore. God's not going to force you to live for him. God's not going to force you to be the person you need to be. You have to wake up every day and choose to be the man or woman that you need to be. You have to wake up every day and say, I'm going to be the best father I can be today. I'm going to be the best husband I can be today. I'm going to be the best mother I can be today. I'm going to be the best wife I can be today. Today, I'm going to be the best Christian that I can be today. You have to wake up every day and tell yourself, I'm going to do this today. Amen? And if you blew it yesterday, be like, well, today's a new chance. That's why the Bible teaches us that his mercies are new and fresh every day. Why? Because I burn them up. You'd be like, you're the preacher, I know, but I'm still human. I need some mercy and I need some grace. Because if it hadn't been for God's grace and his mercy, I wouldn't be standing here today. If it hadn't been for God's unconditional love, I wouldn't be standing here today. And neither would you. Amen. Amen. His mercies are new and fresh every day. So if I blow it today, guess what? God gives me another chance tomorrow. That's the awesomeness of God. Why would you not want to serve a God that loves you that much that if you blow it, guess what? He says, I'm going to give you another chance tomorrow. That's the awesomeness of God. But God's not going to force you to do it. If I didn't say God wouldn't love you. The Bible says, God says, if you make your bed in hell, I'm still there loving you. You know, the people this morning that reject God and the people this morning that are doing all manner of sin, can I tell you something? God loves them. He loves them just as much as he loves you and me. Jesus died for them just like he died for us. And whether they choose to live their life without ever accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they die and they go to hell, guess what? God loves them. God loves them. That's the awesomeness of the love of God. Amen. He will love you. God will not force you to be in relationship with him. So not many days after receiving his inheritance, the younger son walked away from the father. He said, I'm done. I got what I wanted from you. Uh-oh. You know how some people get so spiritual when they start going through? Whew, lost all my amens. We start going through a battle. We start going through difficulty. Oh, man, we're so spiritual. We knock the dust off our Bible. We have to create a praise and worship station on Pandora. Ooh, I'm going to get back up here. This is getting rough. We start going through difficult times. Then, man, we want to get super spiritual. And then when God gets us out of all that mess, then we don't have time for God anymore. We see it over and over and over. I had a young man one time that got caught with 15 pounds of weed in his trunk. That's a lot of weed. And man, when he got caught with that, he got so spiritual. Man, he was down in the altar. Oh, God, you got to help me. But when he didn't end up going to prison for it, didn't see him anymore. That's what I'm talking about. We can't just use God to get what we want out of it and then say, God, I'm done with it. Amen. So after receiving his inheritance, the younger son, he decided to walk away from the kingdom. In other words, his focus shifted to something else. And the Bible said he squandered his living on riotous living. In other words, he went to partying. He went to spending money. He went to throwing parties. He went to having a good time. And guess what? People come out of the woodwork. I don't have time to preach right there, but be careful for fair weather friends. There are people that's with you as long as they can get something out of you. Amen. Or when they need to borrow your tools and they bring your shovel back without a handle in it, that will test your salvation. Or they bring your wrench back and it's covered in rust because they left it out in the rain. Or you have to go back to their house and be like, can I borrow my weed eater to cut my grass? Yeah, I just struck a nerve with myself. I'm going to move on. If that hadn't happened to you, keep living. It should be like the 11th commandment. Don't loan your tools. It's a joke, guys. Anyway, so the Bible said he began to party and to have wild living. In other words, he invested his inheritance in excitement. He invested his inheritance in excitement. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, and I agree with it 100%, you know, we can come to church and raise our hands and be excited about God, and we can worship God and just be so happy about God. And all the excitement's great. But he made this statement. He said, it's not about how loud you shout or how high you jump. It's how straight you can walk when you get out these doors. So it's not about the, amen. It's not about how excited you can get in church. I mean, it's easy to be a Christian up in here because the majority of us are supposed to be those. It's easy in here, but what about when you get out by yourself and the peer pressure comes in and all those things come in, or you're sitting at your computer looking on the internet at 2 in the morning and this picture pops up and everybody's asleep and it says you want to see more. Or you get on, or you're laying there in the middle of the night and your phone dings and it's your inbox and it's some skank in your inbox. Hello? It happens. They come to my phone. I hand them to Jiminy the Cricket over there and she handles it. Be like, do you know her? No. I'm over there, I got some anointing oil by my bed. When that happens and I hand her my phone, I just go ahead and start anointing myself. Lord, if I'm coming to see you in a few minutes, I want to be ready. If you ain't married to somebody like that, man, I just don't know. But yeah, let's move on. So if you ever come to my house, there's anointing oil right beside my bed. So he began to party and he began to just live up life. His inheritance was no longer invested in the kingdom, and his life wasn't invested in following after God. His life was invested in pleasing self. You know, we can get in real trouble when we invest our life in pleasing self. Why? Because no matter how saved you get, no matter how holy you want to live, your flesh will never, ever, ever get saved. That's why the Apostle Paul, the guy that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he had to say, I die daily. In other words, he said, I've got to kill myself every day so that God can live in me. And Paul, the same Paul, said, I want to do good, but evil's always around me. And he also goes on to say, that thing that I would not do is the very thing I find myself doing. So the Apostle Paul even struggled with this. Why? Because your flesh will never get saved. So that is why we can't live after our flesh and to please self, because it wants to do wrong. It likes it. It likes it. It wants to please self-gratification, and it will get you in trouble. That's why we have to follow after the Spirit of God living in us. Because your flesh will get you in lots of trouble without any help from the devil. Amen. You need to go over into Galatians when you get time and read what the works of the flesh are. Adulteries and lies and witchcrafts and all that. In other words, the devil ain't got nothing to do with that. That's what you want to do. But the Spirit of God keeps you from doing that. Amen. And let me help you right here. And some of you may not agree, but that's all right. Don't ever think that you get to the point that you're so saved you're incapable of doing something. Because as long as you have flesh and you give it the opportunity, it'll take you further than you ever dreamed you would go. So please don't ever get to the point that you think, well, I'm too holy that I can't, I'm not going to fall in that trap. Because you will. And it will eat you alive. Let me move on. So he invested his inheritance in self-pleasure. And then the Bible says, but after he had spent all his inheritance, he began to be in want. In other words, he began to starve to death. What happened to all those friends that were with him? See, I've learned something down through the years. When you get in a bind, you find out who your real friends are. When you start going through, you find out who your real friends are. When you can't do nothing else for them, you find out who your real friends are. And I promise you, that circle gets real small. Because I'm a believer that if you have one or two true friends that are ride or die, got your back till the Lord comes back, you are a blessed individual. Because I have a lot of acquaintances, but my circle of friends is about that big that I call friends. Why? Because people will leave you and people will use you for what they have and then be gone. And that's what happened to this young man. The Bible says he began to be in want. He began to starve to death. Do you know that there's a lot of people today that are starving to death spiritually? You know, there's a lot of people today, they're so hungry for something. And there's people today that have a needle in their arm. They're starving. There's people today with all kind of drugs in their hands that are starving. There's people today that are still hung over from partying last night that are starving. Why? Because we were created in the image and the likeness of God, and we were created to be in relationship with God. And if you're not in a relationship with God, there's a hole in your heart. There's a void there. And people are trying to fill that void with anything that they can. But only a relationship with Jesus Christ will fill that void. Only a relationship with Jesus will fill that void. And there are people that are hungry and they're starving. So when this guy, he got out of the kingdom and he got past the time of excitement. And yeah, it can be fun for a while, but the Bible said sin bringeth forth pleasure for a season. But after it is conceived, it brings forth what? Death. Death. So it was good for a while, but then all of a sudden he began to miss the kingdom. He began to be like, there's something missing in my life. The Bible says, after all his inheritance is gone, and he's starving to death, he goes out and he joins himself to a citizen of that country. You see, when you are at a point in your life that you are starving, you will start linking yourself up to people that you normally wouldn't. Oh, let me stop right here. He was in a country, and he began to link himself up with people that he normally wouldn't link up with. You see, when you're not where you need to be with God, you make bad relationship decisions. When you're not where you need to be with God, you make bad relationship decisions. You start linking up and start giving your trust to people that you shouldn't give your trust to. You ever thought you could trust somebody and they burnt you? Amen. Everybody should say amen to that. But and you start trusting the wrong people. You start giving your heart to the wrong people, and you end up getting in a lot of trouble. So because this guy was hungry and wasn't where he needed to be with God, he began to link himself up to people that he shouldn't. People get so hungry that they're looking for anybody to feed them. And have you ever looked at someone and that their life was just a mess? And this may get tight for a minute. Their life is just a mess. And we sit back and we look down our holy nose at them. And we say, how in the world did they get in that mess? How did they get so bad off? You know what the answer is? They found someone that would feed them. And the church didn't. The world fed them when the church wouldn't. We get so busy looking down on folks and wondering how they get their life in such a mess. Well, they've just thrown their life away. We can't have that kind of stuff. I don't want that around my kids. Hey, let me tell you something. Your kids see it every day. And we sit around, oh, my babies wouldn't be part of that. Make sure you know what your babies are doing. My kids don't come home and lock the doors and go in their room. The only locked doors in my house is if I lock them. My kids thought they could lock the doors one time. I said, I will take it off the hinges and lay it in the hall and you won't have a door. Until you start paying rent, this ain't your house. Hello? Well, that's kind of hard parenting. Well, that's what we need today is parenting. Amen. And I'm going to go ahead while I'm in the vein, and I done got some of you mad at me. Your kid is not your best friend. I get so aggravated on social media when parents are calling they're my best friend. Your kid's not your best friend. You are their parent. They got enough friends. They need you to be their mama. They need you to be their daddy, not their best friend. They got enough friends. That's the problem. We got too many adults trying to relive their childhood through their kids. Woo-hoo. All right, I'm going to move on. Some of y'all fitting to leave. We got free food next door. Don't leave. But there are people that link up. He linked up with this guy because he found somebody that would feed him. So this farmer sends the young man out into the field to feed the pigs. Now, according to Jewish customs, a pig was considered unclean. If you come around a pig, it was unclean. You couldn't touch it. You couldn't eat it. You couldn't have anything to do with it. So he went. He hooked up to this farmer that sent him out into the fields to feed pigs. So they were considered a sin to them. Unclean. It was sinful. So check this out. This young man got to a place in his life that his primary job was to feed sin. That's good right there. This man got to a place in his life that the focus every day that he got up was to feed sin. How can somebody get to that point? It happens every day. There are people today that'll steal from their own mama, steal from their own grandmama, lie, cheat, do whatever they have to feed that sin that's in their life. To feed that sin. It can, folks, it can get to the point in your life that your main objective is to feed sin. There are people today that are so bound by pornography that they will take grocery money to go buy pornographic materials. And their family go without because they got to feed that. They got to feed that. You say, how is that real? Yes, I've seen it firsthand. I've dealt with it firsthand with people. Let me tell you something. It is possible for people to get to this place. His only job every day was to feed sin. You know, sin is something that desires to be fed. And each time we fall into those sins, we feed them. We feed them. People come to me all the time saying, "Pastor, I need to get over this. I can't get over this. What do I need to do? Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to beat this." And I can see the desperation in their eyes, and I can hear it in their voice. "Pastor, what do I need to do to get over this?" And my response is always the same. Stop feeding it. Stop feeding it. Anybody ever had an old dog come up to your house? What happens if you feed it? It stays and will not go away and brings fleas. That's another story. You feed it. Why? Because you feel bad for it and all this, but you feed it. But how do you get rid of it? Stop feeding it, and it will go somewhere else. Same way in your life. When you stop feeding things that are destroying you, you'll start to get over them. Well, I just can't get over this. I can't get over this. I counseled a man one time. This is no joke. I wanted to smack him. I counseled a man one time that was so severely addicted to pornography. And I told him, I said, "Stop feeding it." He said, "But they sell it at the store where I get gas." I wanted to slap him. I said, "How many gas stations are between here and Hattiesburg?" I said, "I've got a solution to your problem. You may want to write this down." "What's that?" "Find you another gas station." Come on, folks. God gave you this for a reason. There's some stuff you ain't got to pray about. If you're sitting at a red light and it turns green, don't pray if you should go. Because I'm going to be the person behind you honking my horn with road rage going, "Would you go?" All right. I have road rage. So I'm telling off on myself this morning. So let me move on. Quit feeding it. Quit feeding it. The only way to get rid of things that we're struggling with in our life is to quit feeding them. As long as you keep feeding it, guys, you'll never get over it. The scripture said this young man wanted to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. This is the point now. He's completely consumed by sin. In other words, he's wanting to eat what sin's eating. And nobody was willing to help him. Gosh, what a horrible place to be in your life. That you've done so much that nobody wants to help you anymore. Hey, it's real easy to get there. It's easy to get there where I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've been burnt and I've been hurt and I've been burnt and I've been hurt. It's easy to get to that place. Nobody was willing to help him. He just wanted somebody to feed him. He wanted somebody to reach out to him. But no man gave him anything. And we have a world today, tell you something, the people that are starving to death, consumed by sin. But what are we as church folks doing about it? Gosh, we should be out telling as many people as we can about Jesus Christ. Is everybody we share the gospel with going to get saved? Probably not. But what about that one that does? That's one more soul that's not going to go to hell. That's one more soul that the devil lost. Amen. And isn't it going to be awesome when we get to heaven and you walk in and there stands somebody that you told about Jesus? Wow. That's going to be an awesome feeling. It's awesome to look around in our sanctuary and see folks that we've shared the gospel with, that they're here and they're serving God and they're living for Jesus. But nobody gave him anything. And I'm getting ready to bring it down. Sister Beverly, would you come? I'm going to try to close a little bit because we have the baptism. So the Bible says, though, this guy was in this shape. But when he came to himself, in other words, when he came to his senses, how many of you growing up, especially our older generation, that your parents told you you done lost your mind? You better come to your senses. Okay, we've all heard that. Some of the young folks are saying that. Mm-hmm. If you grow up in the South, you know about a flip-flop and a fly swatter. And that pinch on the inside of your leg in church. I was so happy to grow up Pentecostal. Why? Because if you got pinched on the inside of the legs and you started crying, you could just lift your hands and nobody knew that you were squalling. You got to learn how to play the game. Your mama twist that piece of meat right there on the inside of your legs and you didn't want your friends to see you squalling, so you just lift your hands and some church mama would be like, bless him, Jesus. And I'd be over there going, oh my God, I think I'm about to die. Yeah. So you know about that. So the Bible said he came to himself. He came to his senses. And he said, you know what? He said, in my Father's house, even his servants have bread enough to spare. He said, I'm going to go back to my Father's house. And I'm going to just paraphrase the rest of this because I got to get through. He said, I'm going to go back to my Father's house and just hire on as one of his servants, and because they got it better than I do. The Bible says he picked himself up and he was going to his Father's house, and he had his speech already prepared for God. Isn't it funny how when we need something from God, we think we got to prepare a speech for God? The Bible says God knows what we have need of even before we ask. The Bible said he had his speech all prepared for his father, and then he started going to his father's house. But notice what happened. The Bible says when the father saw him coming a ways off, he took off running to meet him. And he hugged him. The Bible didn't say the guy stopped off somewhere and took a bath. He was still dripping in sin. He still smelt like sin. He still had sin all over him. But the father ran to him and wrapped his arms around him and said, I love you. I love you. Welcome home. That's why the Bible teaches us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And when we come to God dripping in sin, he runs to us. Watch this. And just throws his arm around us. Then he said, bring the finest robe that we have and put it on him. Didn't say he cleaned him up first. He throwed his robe around him. Then you couldn't see all the sin on him. You couldn't see all the filth on him. Why? Because the Father had covered it. Whew. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that God covered my sins. I'm so thankful that the blood of Jesus has washed me and cleansed me from my sins. Things in my life that I didn't want anybody to find out about. Things in my life that I didn't want anybody to know about, the Father covered them. Hey, and I want to tell you something today. God's still doing that today. The son started out in the kingdom. He decided he wanted to do his own thing and got himself in a mess. But when he come back, the father restored him right to where he was. Put a ring of authority on his finger. This is my son who was dead and now is alive forevermore. He made a round trip. Started out here, blew it, but come back. What I want to leave you with today is, even though you may have served God, you made some mistakes or failed along the way, can I tell you something? God still loves us. And we can return right back to him. Would you stand with me all over the house? Would you bow your heads with me today? Please, no one looking around. As we enter into this very sacred time, I want to ask you today, there's a lot of people here, some new people today, folks that I don't know what's going on in your life. That's between you and God. But I want to ask you this morning, is if there's things in your life that doesn't mean that you're not doing your best to follow God, but maybe some things in your life that you need God to help you with, that maybe you need God to help cover some struggles in your life. I tell you, God loves you this morning. God loves you this morning. And if you'll be honest, while no one's looking around, and say, Pastor, I need God to help me with some things in my life, would you just slip up your hand and then put it right back down? Amen, amen, amen. You can put them back down. Hands went up all over the house. I want to tell you something, guys. God loves you. And he's got amazing plans for you. And all those that raised your hand, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be believing God for you. But begin to starve those things. Lay them at the feet of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, I've delivered my heart today, God, as best as I know how. And God, you've seen every hand that went up today of people struggling with some things, people dealing with some things. God, as we feel your presence in this place right now, God, I ask that you help them, God, to conquer these things. God, that you be a covering for these things in their life. God, that you would wash them in your blood. Lord, that you would just help them and lead them on how to get rid of these things out of their life. God, and that they can focus on following you more in their life. God, I ask you now that you would give every person strength, God. Every day, God, to walk out their salvation, to walk out their relationship with you. And God, I pray that you would give us all a urgency, God, in our spirits, God, to lead as many people as we can to you. Lord, we know the time is short, that you're coming back very soon. But God, there are so many people that don't know you as their Savior. And God, I just ask you now that you would help us, God, to give us the courage to go out and to do what you commanded us to. That's to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We give you all praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Those that are going to be baptized, you can be excused.